Resurrection power of our cross. Faith in the resurrection power of our cross. And we're going to look at this verse in Matthew 16, chapter 16, Matthew verses 24 to 26. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. And we know this very well, but we'll read it again to familiarize ourselves, which says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man gain in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." So we see in the context of what is just read there in these few verses that the cross is also that when he comes, he will reward each according to his works. So the Lord is looking for those who are faithful, reliable, those who are walking the way of the cross, and there are rewards that are attached to this. And sadly, we know that there's not a lot of teaching that's taught today with regard to the cross. And many only regard and see the cross as the self-denial, where they give up certain things, or they'll give up certain foods at Lent, or whatever it would be. It's not what we know what the cross is. It's completely different. It's a willingness. It's dealing with the self, the denial of self. It's choosing a different course. It's desiring to choose the way that God wants us in his perfect will to walk. The same will that he had for his Son, that he should walk, that his destiny was to the cross, literally put to the cross. That is the desire, or should be, within our hearts for the overcomer. And that's why we're calling our teaching today Faith in the Resurrection Power of Our Cross. We have to have a faith in the cross to what it produces and will produce. Otherwise, it serves no purpose. It serves no purpose in the denial of the self if it's not going to produce something. God doesn't call us and to the promises of God if it's not going to produce anything. Because God looks for rewards. It is part of our stewardship. It's part of what God is going to give us. And it's what I read here. And it says, with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. We can only produce the works that are really acceptable to God through the work of the cross. Yes. And that is a work of grace and mercy. And we've really got to get this one from our heads to our hearts. Because then what it does is, it releases us from ourself. It releases us from putting self first, my wants, my desires, and so forth. It frees us up to be able to put the will of God, the kingdom of God, first. And I say this, brothers and sisters, because as your pastor, I'm going to admonish this morning, because saints who said they were going to be here last week are not here today. And a lot of that is because self still gets in the way. Do we want our fellowship? Do we want to meet together from house to house, which is what we wanted in the beginning, or not? Now, I leave that with you, brothers and sisters, but, you know, if we open our houses for saints to come together, there's one who is always faithful who will be present here today, and that is the Lord Jesus, where two or three are gathered together. The problem is we're not desperate enough. Now, each of you know why you're not here today, and it may well be legitimate. We're not criticizing. We're simply saying that the Lord is here today. And we either want to meet together or we don't. Because my biggest concern is it's too easy meeting online. And it's what I suspected and said all along would happen. So that we're making no effort. The cross in our lives reveals that we are willing to make that effort, whatever it takes, for the sake of unity and fellowship in the body of Christ. And we are so richly blessed in this assembly. We really are. So I think that this teaching today is very fitting. And the Lord uses everything in which to speak to us, but sometimes he's going to admonish us. And the reason being is because he doesn't want us legitimate. A true father is going to admonish us and correct us because he loves us. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Faith in the Resurrection Power of Our Cross. Not the pastor's cross. Not your brother or sister's cross, your cross that you are willing to take up daily and follow the Lord. Now with that, we'll couple this with Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Mark chapter 8 verse 34 to 38. Mark 8 34 to 38. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, Whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There you are, there's the challenge there, verse 37. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Here he's clearly giving the principles of discipleship. It is absolutely plain, it is absolutely clear. We either want it or we don't. God isn't going to let us play at church. He isn't going to let us just enjoy being spiritual on Sunday or Tuesday, but every day, every second, every moment. And finally, let's look at also Luke chapter 9, because I really want the scripture to speak this, that this isn't just my ideas. Luke chapter 9, verse 23-26. Luke 9:23-26. See, all the Gospels speak on this. Now that tells us something, how important this is. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels." And so on. So there we are, three clear accounts of why we've been given the faith teaching. It is not being given to us for prosperity. It is more than that. The cross is given to us to be able to embrace the conditions of the cross in our everyday life and walk. That is one of its ultimate goals. That is why we call it the deeper life. But many still have got this mindset that faith is somehow for me to prosper and get my needs and what I want in this life. And it's only just part of what the bigger picture is. Ultimately, our faith, we need to be in faith to believe that that cross that I take up daily is working in my life every second and moment of the day. That's why we need to know the power of the cross. And as we know so well, churches today have got it all so wrong. They all want power, but they see the power is in how big they are, or how many people fill the seats, or how big the outreach is and so forth. That is what they see as power, or they see how anointed the music is and so on. They've got it so wrong. And the enemy is having a field day over all of this. But the true gospel and its teaching brings us right back to the cross. The cross is central to the Christian teaching. Christ crucified is our message that we take to this dying world. This dying world out there doesn't want to know that you have in your garage three cars. That dying world out there doesn't want to know that. It sees it every day. That is what is making many in society bitter and angry. This is what it does to the poor, to the destitute. And do you think we want to take that sort of gospel to them? No wonder they don't listen and respond.
That's right.
They will only respond when they see the life of Christ living his life in and through you. When they see us in our weakness, when they see us stumbling over our words, or we don't know what to say to them sometimes. What do you say to a person who's down in the gutter? What do you say to a person who doesn't have a house, who lives in a cardboard city? That's where they sleep, in under some shop window or under a bridge or whatever it is. What can you take to them? The only thing you can take to them is Christ crucified.
Praise you, Lord.
That's what they will hear.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Not patronizing them.
Yeah.
Judging them. I'm using that as an extreme, I know. Because we're not always going to meet everything and everyone in that situation. But you know where I'm coming from. This is the point. I can only go to this dying world, and I speak for myself. And to if God leads me to these people, and He does, if I have only one thing to represent to them, and that is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Otherwise, I fail them miserably. And that is what He wants out of Full Gospel Assembly. And this is why this part of Jesus' teaching is the least understood in the Christian church today. They've got it so wrong. They think that their self-denial is giving up some luxury and so on. That's about how far it goes. You see, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross if He didn't have its end result in sight. And this is where you need a vision. You know, the Bible says that without a vision, my people perish. Your vision comes first and foremost from the cross that you take up daily. That is where you will get the true vision that will stand and endure in eternity. The cross is our vision, and the cross will give everything else from that vision that we need to see. And that vision will certainly show us that there is a harvest out there, but the laborers are few. Could I say the laborers don't really want to harvest that harvest because they can't be in control of it? They can't boast over it, and so on. And that is our problem. We want to boast over our converts. We want to boast about our ministry and so forth. I'm reminded of King David that numbered Israel, and what a price he paid for that. Because God does not get the glory. The cross is making it into the kingdom. It's absolutely instrumental. The only guarantee of making it into the kingdom of God, as I read it, is disciples. And I'm not judging. I don't know who will or will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. I've said many, many times, I'll say it again, we're going to be very surprised on that day when we enter. Surely not that person. But the point is, we each of us work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Well, I want to look at several areas with regard to faith in the resurrection power of our cross. And firstly, the cross puts an end to self, lusting for the things of the world. And believe me, it doesn't take much effort to start lusting for things in the world, and we will always deceive ourselves. We'll always make an excuse for our lusting until God opens our eyes, touches us, and we realize that our attitude and our motive is wrong. You will know a saint who is not lusting for things, and I'll tell you how you know it, and I pick it up, and even some in the assembly, because they'll say, God blessed me with that. The gratitude and the thanks that comes out of their heart in what God has blessed them with. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. This is why God looks for a thankful heart that praises Him, that thanks Him. Because they have learnt that their blessings come from God and not from lusting, manipulating and working after it. All those that still lust for things, you will find they're never really grateful.
That's right.
They want more and more and more. But those who truly, and it comes out of our worship, It comes out of our prayers, thanking, praise you, Lord. It's just there because we know it's the Lord graciously, abundantly blessing and giving. And I've said it and I'll say it again, our Heavenly Father is so blessing. Mm-hmm. He abundantly blesses us, mm-hmm. infinitely. Mm-hmm. But he has a way in which he does it, because he does it.
Thank you, Jesus.
What I have, what you see, is God's abundant provision and blessing. And when we have it like that, when we see it like that, then that in return causes us to share those blessings. Because they are not for me self, they are for others to be able to enjoy as well. Thank God our Heavenly Father is so gracious and so merciful that he says, come in and inherit the kingdom I have prepared for you. Mm-hmm. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Mm-hmm. Is that not God's provision? Mm-hmm. His blessings? He wants to share that with you and me. Right. And Jesus said, I go and I prepare a place for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
We were talking about this coming up in the car. It's very interesting, that part of what Jesus speaks, because that comes out of the Persian thinking. Nebuchadnezzar, many of them, their palaces that they had built in those days was interesting. Around them they would build arboretums, gardens, trees, animals. They would put things into them. It wasn't just a palace. It was more than that. It was a cultural city, mm-hmm. in many ways. There's the idea, mm-hmm. of what we're inheriting, what we're going into, what he's going to share. He's still going to keep us in the environment that we understand.
Wonderful.
Instead of it being brass and iron or whatever it is, because all of that rusts away, it will be gold, because that will never die, rust away. And not only that, but in the end we will stay and see the new Jerusalem that come down, and the overcomers will have access into that place. You see, this is why I said rewards. The overcomers are being blessed with the greatest rewards for this closing age. And boy, they will be rewarded. Mm. Does this not speak of the generosity of our Heavenly Father? Giving out all the time. That's what he wants to touch you and I with. Mm. Not to be covetous and mean and so forth. Because God will provide. You can never run out of his provision. Out of our innermost beings flow those rivers of living water. Where's the principle? There's the principle to it. And I believe that this new Jerusalem coming down will also be showing us again access that Adam forfeited when he had in the Garden of Eden. The presence of God and so forth, it'll be a type again coming back, and we can partake of the tree of life, which is, I believe, signifying a type of the Holy of Holies, mm-hmm. that we draw our life from. Mm-hmm. You see, they were not to touch that. Mm-hmm. Could touch everything, you see, you can't touch that. I'm reminded of when they brought the presence of God on the cart, you remember, the tabernacle. And what was his name who touched it? Yes, he touched it and struck dead immediately. Of course, David was angry. He misunderstood that. But that was telling us something, showing us. That is why you can't touch it. And that's why God said to Adam, Eve, you can touch of everything, but not of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch of it, because that was God's presence. So look what we're destined for, brothers and sisters. This is why we need to be upward looking. This is why God is trying to show us, as it says in Ephesians, we're seated with him in heavenly places. We're there now by faith. And soon the overcomers are going to be caught away and brought back to that place where the church should be, in the heavens with the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Because at the moment that's where Satan is. And the fallen angels, the demonic forces, they should not be there.
Right.
The church should be there, but he will be finally cast to the earth, as we know, and then he tries then in his wrath to set up his kingdom for a short time. And the church is utterly asleep to the fact that we are in the last final onslaught, spiritual battle. Yet how many Christians are prepared, ready, open for this final battle that we are being prepared for? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. Yet most are asleep to this, because they're not taught it in the churches. So the cross, it puts an end to self, lusting for those things of the world. That's why Jesus said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? With a question mark. Well, praise God, we believe that Full Gospel Assembly and a remnant that God has around the world is believing.
Yes.
And that is why the Lord Jesus will come for them first. Yes. And call them away.
Hallelujah.
Unto himself.
Thank you, Lord.
Secondly, the cross won't let you lose or sell your soul. And that is another reason why we are to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. Because if you're doing that, you desire that, you are praying for that, you will not lose your soul. Now that, of course, goes right against those who preach once saved, always saved. Because they are in a complacent mode, those people are. Wish it was. It would make my preaching a lot easier. But the scriptures show us clearly, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. From God's side, he knows those who will make it in.
Yes.
Because if God doesn't eternally call and elect, nobody will. But on our side in this world, we have to walk by faith and trust that God has called us from the foundation of the world. And we will know that by the way we walk. The way we trust him, we look to him. But the cross will not let you sell your soul. And there are Christians, sadly, and they're in scripture, where they sell their soul to the devil through the lusts of the flesh, through the things that he allures and brings along. You see in the scriptures, Paul speaks of it, some, they've gone back into the world. What do they do? Sold their soul to the devil, their heart. And we've all been tempted.
Yeah.
I have been tempted. I know what that one is like, and it's frightening. And you call on the mercy of God, Lord, I'm in temptation. It's so strong. My heart is divided at this point, but I hold on to the fact you are greater and stronger. Don't let me go. If you've never been through that, you're going to go through it, because that drops it from your head to your heart, and it shows you how powerful the cross is and what it can and what it will do. And thirdly, we take up our cross for Jesus and the sake of the gospel. Luke 9:35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And that is what we do. That is what we're doing today through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We hear him. You're not hearing some minister. You're not hearing some popular evangelist whom you follow. You're in this room today. This meeting is here today because we're here to hear him. God just uses a mouthpiece. This is why I keep saying it is so paramount that you pray for the word that you hear. You intercede in the week for the word, for that seed of that word that you hear. You pray for its purity. You pray for its correctness. You pray for that word because you want to hear God speak. That is what's so important. But again, this can only come by saints who see the cross and who know what their cross is for, and they take it up daily and follow. You see, a saint who walks the crucified life is one who doesn't have to be told to pray for the word of God that they are hearing. That cross will produce the unction in which to do it. Amen?
Yes.
It does. I don't have to be asked to keep praying for the word that I want to hear. Something within me wants to pray for it. Something within me wants to pray for my brother and sister that's going through a trial. There's just something there. Yes, I know the enemy, what he tries to do is hinder us and tries to keep us out of God's presence or keep us out of praying. But then that's a good sign, isn't it? That's a good sign you're on the right track when you get these attacks. So praise the Lord. You know, he has a way in which he shows us. And fourthly, looking at this, remember, our title today is Faith in the Resurrection Power of Our Cross. Fourthly, the cross causes us not to be ashamed of Jesus and his word.
Hallelujah.
Which we've been reading there. The cross frees you up from yourself, frees you up from embarrassments, frees you up, oh, I don't know what to say, frees you up from all of these things the enemy tries to hold us. Well, you can't say that. What will they say if you say that? How many of us have been under attack under that one? I can't be the only one. So you're under a fight there. Am I more worried about my own self, my own reputation, or am I more concerned about the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ? The cross will deal with that. Because you can't do it. We're too worried about ourselves otherwise. But the cross will do that. This is why I'm saying that is the power that comes from the cross, that deals with all these things otherwise we battle with. And we'll always put self first otherwise, every time. And as I say, and I'll say it again, don't worry about crucifying yourself. Don't worry about how the cross, well, how does it work? Settle it with God, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I can tell you the cross will do the rest. It'll do it for you. It'll crucify you. It'll bring out all the weaknesses, everything, but I'll tell you what, you'll not only know the mercy of God, you'll know the power of God that will work as well, taking over in our weakness. The Apostle Paul said, in my weakness I am strong. He actually gloried in his weakness. He looked for it. It became a positive thing. The cross was always weakening him. And the cross is going to always weaken you and I. It brings us to the end. So the power of the risen Lord Jesus, who resides, lives in us, takes over. And the more you get of that, the more you'll want it. And that's where it speaks about glorying in the cross. Crazy in the natural. How can you ever get your mind round that? You know, people can listen and say, well, if you take a message like that out to the world, you'll lose most of the people. Well, that's what Jesus did. That's what the disciples did. And even Jesus was left with none of them. At his crucifixion, they all left him. But it'll be one thing, the Holy Spirit adding to the church.
Yeah.
That will be the difference. It may not be quantity, but it will be quality. But the cross causes us not to be ashamed of the word of God, this good news, the gospel. And fifthly, the cross will preserve a remnant, the overcomers, for Jesus' appearance. Because unless the bride who's making herself ready does this through the working of the cross, there will be no bride. I can assure you of that. To make herself ready, she has had a revelation of the cross that she too takes up and follows the Lord daily. But the cross speaks of also walking with the Lord, being with the Lord. The cross speaks of unbroken fellowship with the way that Jesus went as well. This is what it signifies, and this is its power. This unbroken fellowship 24/7 could not be achieved in the natural, but it can and will be and is through the working of the cross. That isn't for you to try and work that out. The cross will do that. The cross will do everything that you are concerned about. Those things you're still overcoming, the cross will deal with that. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth you through the cross that you are willing to take up daily and follow. Everything else will stem and work from that. And you may say, Pastor, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the complications in my life. Maybe I don't, but I'll tell you what, the cross will sort it out. Every time. Every time. But the cross will preserve this remnant, these overcomers, for Jesus is appearing because he's to marry his bride. That is what the Father has promised, that is what he has decreed, and it will happen. Luke 9:27, which says, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Do we believe that that is us, this generation that shall not pass till they see the coming of the Lord? I believe so. I believe so. But they stand firm because of the cross that is in their lives. That's what it will do. And that's why we need to be in faith for the cross in our lives. As much as getting, say, healed, which is in the atonement, or that new job I'm looking for, all these things in the world, salvation of our loved ones, even making it into the kingdom of heaven, and so forth. All of that is, yes, by faith. We appropriate everything by faith. As Jesus says, and saying it right now, be it according to your faith. But we need faith to believe the ultimate, that the cross is there, central in my life, central in the church that I go to, central in our message and teaching and so on. You see, some don't have faith in the cross, because they don't see it or experience it. As I said, you have to experience that cross. That is its power. If you want it just in theology and reading up books or commentaries, fine. But unless you then pray that what you read into your life, you will never know its power, its experience. And that is the problem. That is why we have such problems today in pulpits, where it's a watered down, lukewarm message. Most of what you hear comes out of commentary books, and they have their place, so don't get me wrong. but they will never be your experience unless you are a saint that goes into your closet and gets on your knees and sweats it out with God. And there is the difference. 2 Timothy 3, I know this very well, in the light of what we're talking about here. Second Timothy 3, verses 6 to 8. For of this sort are those who creep into households and making captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now this is one of the main weapons the enemy is using today in professing Christendom. It is a message, it is a lukewarm message, and in its nature it wants to appeal to the emotions. And the emotions in return will always feed lusts. That is the subtlety of what is happening today. Because we live in a generation and an age that is so sensual. We're seeing minds becoming reprobate. We're no longer the conscience is working anymore. It's become so suppressed, so pushed down because of emotions and lusts and what I want, that it's become what we call that word seared. That is what's frightening. That is what's happening. So what happens in return to people when they get in that state? I'll tell you what happens. They become prime targets, open doors to demonic, strong demon oppression. That is exactly what Satan wants to do with this last generation. Because we're told that the increase of demonic activity will be horrendous in the last days. And he has to take over the mind. He has to work on that conscience to sear it, to suppress it, so it's an open door for whatever demonic forces want to take over, and many powerful and many more powerful will be taken over. We are going to see horrendous things manifesting in this world in the last days. We're going to see things manifesting out of people that you cannot believe could be so depraved. We're beginning to see it. We're seeing it in the Middle East, of the atrocities, the butchery. These are things that, you know, you read out in the Old Testament. The Assyrians, which probably are one of the most wicked race of people in existence, and I won't go into the graphic details of what they did to their victims. All of that demonic force is coming back again in these last days, because the minds are seared, they're reprobate, they no longer have God in their life, they're completely heathen. So he says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Churches are filled with people that go week after week, but no desire to learn, because they paid their dues. I've done my due today, God, I've been to church for 2 hours. You must be happy with me. That's the attitude. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And that's why it's going to come to an end. And that is why judgment begins first in the house of God. Shaking has started first, and it started with us. God speaks to us like he does because its nature is to shake us. How many parents have done or have felt like saying to their child or to their teenager, shake them, why don't you wake up? Can you not see? You know, I can understand that one. But that's spiritually what God is doing with us. I want you to wake up. I want you to see. Because otherwise we're like those ostriches. We'll bury our heads in the sand. And they're most stupid things. Because have you seen them? The head goes in the sand and all the rest of the body is sticking out of the sand. I mean, how ridiculous. The enemy can come along and finish them off. You see, the Lord never gets it wrong, does he? The analogies. He wants us to be awake and spiritually alert. We're in an army, being trained, ready. We have to discern. We have to test the spirits in these last days. And you will only ever be able to test and discern the spirits through the blood of the Lamb and through the cross of Jesus Christ. That is our discernment. Anything else is a substitute, and the enemy's got you. He's deceived you. That is one thing the devil cannot counterfeit, is the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it defeated him at Calvary when Jesus said, it is finished, it is done. This cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It cannot be emulated. It is done. It's finished. And God's wrath was appeased. Dealt with. That's why. So we need faith in the resurrection power of our cross that we too daily take up and follow. And when you have the cross in your life, you will begin to rejoice and you will begin to hear you say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. That's all I want. That's all that matters. That is all I live for today. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And when you can say that truly from your heart and rejoice, they are clear signs the cross is in your life. But sadly, we have some who don't say that, who can't get excited or encouraged by that. But why the Lord still tarries, and why we can still hear messages like this today, we have a chance to take this before God and settle it. Because there will come a day, an hour, when you won't be able to do it anymore. Because that spiritual door to the ark will finally close. It will be too late. Let he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us so much that you're holding nothing back. It isn't what self or the devil tries to say or suggest. By giving up the self-life is the greatest deliverance we can ever have. It's the greatest joy, the greatest peace. And Lord, how we need peace in our mind and heart and spirit. We are living in a world that's desolate. We're living in a world that is rushing here and there. We're living in a world that's becoming more and more complicated, more and more controlling, manipulating, lying, deceiving. Oh, Father, many, many words we could add to that, but you're delivering us from all of that.
Thank you, Lord.
So that our faith can rest in him and the promises of God. Father, my prayer and heart's desire is that this word will become reality to everyone who hears this.
Thank you, Jesus.
May the power of this message draw your people before you in humility and a bowed knee and settle it once and for all. Because then we know that it is not our will, but your will be done. Father, open our ears and eyes and heart to the hour that we live in. For Lord, the enemy in the natural is very busy and virtually working overtime. But all of this is to tell us something, that you are soon to return. Cause each of us to look up as our redemption is drawing near. Help us, Father, to pray and intercede those things that are upon your heart. To not be consumed about ourselves, our careers, our futures, my wants and everything. They simply are more and more of a snare. But please, Lord, free us so that we can embrace the kingdom and see what is pertaining to it. We've only just had a small glimpse to what the kingdom of God really is. Some of us still view the kingdom of God through the eyes of full gospel assembly, but it's not. It's infinitely greater and bigger. Father, bring about these deliverances, these changes that we so desire within our hearts, Lord. We know, Father, that the deeper life teaching is to deliver us above all from self, because self is our own worst enemy and how Satan uses it. Keep our eyes looking to Jesus, the author finisher of our faith, looking away from this world and all the things that try to trip us up. Father, we've heard it today. All you want of us is to make ourselves available and open, and you will do that change. For you said you will change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. You will circumcise the sons of Levi in these last days. And if it does take fire to purify, then you will. For we will come forth purified as gold. You are the potter. We are the clay. And help us always to remember that, Father, in whatever we do or say or put our hands to. And Lord, we desire to prosper, but that it would be a prospering that will meet the needs and help others to be shared out, to bring joy and blessing, Father, wherever we're taken to. Lord, we're not against prosperity. We're not against those who prosper. It is a sign that they walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sign that they're not held or manipulated by these blessings. Whether they have them or they don't have them, it makes no difference. They walk with Jesus, and that's all that matters. Help, Father, in your mercy, to get these balanced in our lives, we ask, and in the church. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, those who go through great persecution, where the gospel is really costing them. Father, so often they are praying more for us in the Western world. We don't know of those things. Father, we are so blessed. We have it so easy, Lord. But Father, help us not to be complacent in that. If we are prospering, if we are blessed, if we can meet week after week without persecution, then Lord, that is your mercy and your grace. But that may only be for a season. Help us to be faithful, praying for our leaders, our countries, politicians, those that have to make huge choices and decisions, how they need the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. And Father, we remember those, Lord, who don't have a meal each day like we have. Some who are starving have to go many, many miles in searching for food. Oh Lord, have mercy, Father. Lord, we take things so much for granted. But thank you, Father, for our daily needs. Thank you that you give us food abundantly, day after day. We don't know what it is to hunger, to go destitute. Most of us have our homes and the comfort and the heat. There are some, Lord, that don't, or have been driven out of their house, or through debts or financial problems, find themselves out on the street. Oh Lord Jesus, give us your heart in all of this, Father. Help us not to be patronizing. Help us, Lord, not to push them off just with a £5 note and feel we've done our duty of the day. Lord, many times you call us to go that extra mile, and our walk is to be like the walk of Jesus. Lord, as we decrease, you increase in our lives. We desire that you have your way daily in our lives, reaching out. There is a harvest out there, Father. It's plentiful. Lead us, Father, we ask. Equip us through the cross that we daily take, that will meet those needs, that will heal those bodies, that will cast out those demons, and bring a people rejoicing into the body of Christ. Lord, that is our heart's desire, we pray. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Redeemed us with his blood, and who has rushes on.